to the GBC Sermon Podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. This message from our Sunday church service is part of the resources we provide as we seek to see lives changed by Jesus. You could also listen to our Big Three podcast, a conversation that unpacks three big questions raised from sermons like this one. You can find more information about Gymea Baptist Church, as well as discipleship resources and an opportunity to join us in person or online on our website, gymeabaptist.org.au.
Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 to 21 says this: "Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah: 'Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope.'"
Thank you, Mahala. Mahala is the younger and I'm the elder, in case anyone was confused. Psalm 72 of Solomon. "Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him with gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May corn abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse.
Thanks, Bruce, and thank you, Harla, for those beautiful Bible readings this morning. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. It is great to see you, and it's great to see you guys online who've logged in and said hi in the chat. My name is Roxanne. I'm associate pastor here at Gymea Baptist Church. Great to see you. Great to meet you. If you're new and visiting, please do stick around after the service and have a coffee or a cup of tea and a chat to greet people and to say hi. It's also wonderful to have our kids in the service with us today, and as you can see up on the platform, we're going to be doing communion a little bit later. And we always deliberately do communion during the school holidays in order to give our families a chance to celebrate that meal together. And not just like individual families, but us as a church family, us as a church community. We want to be one community in this. So onliners, do make sure that you've got a little bit of bread or a little bit of juice, something so that you can share with us together in unity today. Well, thanks to the kids who are being so well behaved and quiet with those activity packs. That's amazing. Now, I do believe that Beck, our coordinator for kids, has got a few prizes for those who have done really good quiet work. So, and some of the work's going to go up on the wall. So if you haven't yet begun to do that work, kids, that's time for you to now do that so the adults can listen to the sermon. But of older kids, you're always willing to listen to the sermon as well. So give those over to the kids. Now, this psalm, Psalm 72, actually starts with giving something to the next generation. It starts, "Endow the king with your justice, O God, your royal son with your righteousness," this sense of endowment. And that's something that we're familiar with, isn't it? As people, we might have a will, we might have a house, we might have some assets, and we know that one day we're going to pass those things on to the next generation. We're going to be people who give to the generations to come, whether that's our own children or our special godchildren or whoever it is. We're going to be passing that on. And there's a whole class of billionaires in our world today, people like Warren Buffett and even Jackie Chan. I don't know if he's a billionaire, but we'll add him. Bill Gates and Melinda Gates back in the day, who have made a conscious decision that they will not be passing their billions on to their children. They've actually publicly stated it, and they are the literal definition of spending the kids' inheritance. They are actually going to be trying to get rid of their billions of dollars and not pass it on to the generations, because they have recognised that that will do more harm than good. Like passing a great stonking amount of money that, you know, is just ridiculous is going to do a lot of harm. So they're not going to do that. Because generally speaking, when we're wanting to pass something on, we want it to be good. We want it to be excellent for the next generation. And here we have Psalm 72, which is this beautiful praise, prayer for the next generations, this coronation-style song. And we want the king who is taking power to be given something that is good, not something that's going to detract him from ruling, something that is excellent. And the prayer isn't that the king will have a really fancy crown, a super sparkly crown, and a really fancy throne like a shiny chair, or that he'll have all this glory and riches for himself. No, the good thing that the prayer here says is that the king will be endowed, given justice. Endow the king, not just any justice, but your justice, O God. The royal son is going to be given your righteousness. This is the good thing that is getting passed on. And we're familiar with an endowment fund, aren't we? It's when we give some money set aside for a purpose, and we invest that, and the investment continues, and the principal is invested, and the interest is to do something good. Right, to make a change, to do something good. And this is the sort of language that we've got here, that this new king, the king who is going to sit on the throne, is going to be given God's justice and God's righteousness, and that's going to be continually given in order that the king might do good. May he judge your people with righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. This is a prayer that the king will be a Psalm 1 person, a person of righteousness and justice. And the psalm is this beautiful poem, this prophetic praise, prayer, and it's kind of very song-like. If you're new to the Psalms or new to the Scriptures, the Psalms are actually song lyrics. That's what they are. And so they're really poetic. And for this one, we're not going to go through the whole psalm. It's quite lengthy. But I'm going to draw out some themes in this song for us to look at. Because when the king is given or endowed with God's righteousness and God's justice, the community that he reigns over and that he leads is going to be characterized by a certain few things. It's going to be a flourishing community when the king reigns in righteousness and justice. It says things like, "May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May the rule be like rain falling on a mown field." And this is in the Middle East. And we know that in the Middle East, the mountains are kind of dry, aren't they, and stony and rocky, and there's not a lot that grows there, right? That's not where you get growth and fruit from. And we know that if you raise a field, like if you've mown a field, it's stubbly and rocky, and this righteous king is going to be like, oh, this beautiful, gentle rain, bringing about flourishing, about fruit, where fruit shouldn't be. We actually sang a line in the song Graves Near Gardens, which is similar to this, about God that brings fruit out of strange places. And this is going to be characterized by this rule. But it's not just the land that's going to be good with this king. This king is going to be caring for his people in a really, really unique way. And so there's a whole bunch of may he's and he wills in this. And some of the may he's is may he defend the afflicted among the people. May he save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. When a king is endowed with God's righteousness and God's justice and walks in that Psalm 1 way, walks with the Lord, then not only is the land going to flourish, but the people are going to flourish because that king is looking out for the needs of the poor. He's going to be delivering the needy, the afflicted, the weak. He's going to be saving them from death, rescuing them from oppression and violence. The king's rule is characterized by God's preferential option for the poor. This is what God wants. And we remember in this Psalm series, if you've been looking at this, when we look at the Israelite king, we should be looking at the king and being able to see God. When we look at the king who's ruling the way that God wants him to reign and rule, we should be able to see God at work and see something of God's heart. And here we have in this psalm something of God's heart. Endow the king with your justice, your righteousness, and this king is going to take care of those who have no one to take care of themselves. And don't forget, this is before Centrelink. This is before Veterans Affairs. This is before the NDIS or any care for the aged care, anything like that. And so God is saying to the king, no, here is how you're going to rule. Because when you rule in this way, when you rule according to my law, when you rule in justice and righteousness, you're going to look for that. You're going to look after all of those who cannot look after for themselves. And when people see that, says God, see that in you, my king, they're going to see me. They're going to see the Father. They're going to see that Father heart, the one who cares for the lost. So this is what the rule is going to look like in this beautiful poem. But not only is it going to be characterized by this flourishing community of both land and people. Oh, no, not just that. No, it's going to be characterized by something else. This is going to be an expansive kingdom. This kingdom is going to be huge. He's going to rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And desert tribes are going to come and they're going to bow before him. And kings from Tarshish in Spain and Seba and Sheba in Africa, they're going to come and present gifts or tributes to the king. And everyone, the whole earth is going to hear about this king who rules with God's righteousness and God's justice and how the community's flourishing because that's the heartbeat of God. Everyone's going to hear about it. And before, Medwin read us a passage from Kings about how the Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon. And she comes to Solomon and says, I didn't even hear the half of what was going on. I thought I knew, but when I've come here, man, it's twice as good as I've heard from you. And she says, I can see how happy your people are because you rule with justice and righteousness. So this kingdom is going to be expansive, longitudinal, latitudinal, all across the world, right? Not only is it going to be expansive, but it's also a kingdom that is going to be eternal in terms of time, in terms of longevity, because it says here that he will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. Long may he live. This kingdom that we're praying for, that we want the king to operate in, it's not just about flourishing communities and great land and plants growing where they're not supposed to grow and those who are hurting being brought in and cared for. It's not only just going to go to the ends of the earth. It's going to go to the end of time. It's going to be a time thing. There's going to be never an end to this kingdom. Incredible. incredible kingdom. Far out. When we look at this king, we should be able to see God. There's a little challenge in that for us, just as we pause in this spot. Because for us, this is about a king. And we think, I would like to live in this place. I want to live in a place where the plants are like the cedars of Lebanon, where it's a flourishing and thriving community. But there's also a call for us in terms of the heart that God has for leaders and the type of leadership that we need to be giving. We have been endowed and given opportunities and leadership and influence and power. And God expected his king to operate in a particular way. So my first challenge for us and for me this morning is when we've been given opportunities, whether it's an opportunity at work to take a leadership role, whether it's in our family, the family that we have, the influence that we have there, whether it's among our peers, wherever it is, are we the people who will lead in that space with justice and righteousness? Are we going to be Psalm 1 people who don't sit with the mockers, no, who walk in the way of righteousness so that when people look at us leading with justice and righteousness and caring, that they might look at us and even somehow see God and see God's heart and who God is? That's our challenge. One challenge for us this morning, and it's my challenge for me, that I might be somebody who leads with that heartbeat, that heart for the lost, that a safe place might be given for those who are hurting, those who God describes as his afflicted, your afflicted ones. So here we have this beautiful song, this beautiful psalm describing this incredible kingdom, this expansive, eternal, flourishing community. And we look at this and then we read the Bible and we look at the kings who've come after this. And we think, hang on a minute, it's a bit of a disconnect here, because I got to tell you, I've read some of this. And not a lot of these kings are able to live up to that standard, yeah? Just in terms of time alone, David ruled for 40 years, Solomon ruled for 40 years, some of them only ruled for a handful of years. And we find that they don't have the flourishing communities. They aren't the king, but you can look at the king and see God. They fail continuously. And so for us, we look at this description, this beautiful prayer, and we think, how could it go so wrong? And then we read, maybe in verse 17, it says, then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Should sound like a little bit of an echo. Might sound a little bit familiar to you, because that's a little echo of God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, when he said, I'm going to call you Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to have a people that comes from you. I'm going to bless you, bless your people, and through you, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. And he promises that to Abraham, and that promise is rolled out and rolled out and rolled out across Scripture. And here is a little echo of it again, that God is going to promise that he's going to have somebody that all the world is going to be blessed through. You're seeing where we're going with this, everybody? Yeah, you are. Because who is the anointed one? Who is the king who has that heart for the lost, who creates flourishing communities, whose kingdom is not only expansive across the whole world, but eternal in terms of time? Who's the promised one? It's Jesus, isn't it? It's Jesus that we see this prophetic prayer come to fruition in. And so when we get to the New Testament and we hear Jesus, we see in that beautiful scripture, that Mahala thread for us, the promises that Jesus says, a smouldering wick, I'm not going to snuff out. A bruised reed, I'm not going to break. I'm going to see the actions of Jesus as the one who goes after the afflicted, who goes to the needy, who defends those, who saves the needy from death. We see that in so many stories of Jesus. Jesus who blind Bartimaeus, who's Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus, and he calls out to Jesus, son of David, David the king. Have mercy on me. And Jesus lets him see, and Bartimaeus follows Jesus along the road. We see that in stories Jesus tells about the lost sheep, where one sheep goes. And everyone else would have given up that sheep for dead. But no, Jesus says the shepherd goes after the sheep. And Jesus says, I'm like a physician. I've come to help those who are sick. I've come to help those who need healing. This is what I'm here for. And finally, Jesus comes to rescue those from death, to rescue us from oppression and violence. And he takes our sin and shame upon himself and rescues us through his blood. Church, this psalm, yes, it's about the Israelite king. Yes, it's about God's person here in Israel, and that when we see the king, we should see God. But, oh, there's a lot of Jesus in it. There's a lot of Jesus in this. In fact, the early church and the Eastern church even today will still sing Psalm 72 at the Feast of Epiphany, which is 12 days after Christmas, the 6th of January, if anyone wants to do the math on that. It's where we get the song, the 12 days of Christmas from. And at that point, they will celebrate and remember the Magi, the wise men who came from the east, came from afar, and they bring tribute and they bring gold, frankincense and myrrh, and they say, where is the one who is born to be the king? And they recognize that Jesus is this king. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May kings bow down to him. May all nations serve him. And we see Jesus as the fulfillment of this, because church, just like that Israelite king was meant, we're meant to look at him and see God. When we look at Jesus, we see God in full. We see God revealed in Christ. And for us, when we look at Jesus, we need to recognize who we are. We are the Lord's afflicted. We are the needy. We are the ones who need his justice and his righteousness. We are the ones who need a saviour. We are the ones who want to come before him and say, Jesus, I need you. I cannot do it on my own. Well, we've been reading different scriptures through this series, and we haven't read one today. There's one that we haven't heard. And I want to read this for us now. And I want you to think about the blessings, the spiritual blessings that Jesus gives to you, that Jesus gives to you. And sometimes this might be hard to consider who we are in Christ, that we are the afflicted, we are the needy, especially in the West. We seem to have it all together. We've got everything that opens and shuts. We've got a roof over our head, we've got a house, we got everything we need. But on a spiritual sense, in our heart, in our soul, we need Jesus. We need the Anointed One who is filled with justice and righteousness, who loves us, who binds up our wounds, who takes that smouldering wick of our life and our faith and won't crush it out, who won't snap the reed. We need Christ. So let me read this for you, and then we're going to respond in a time of communion. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. We're the lost. We're the afflicted. We're the ones who cannot do without Christ. And in this passage in Ephesians, we hear that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That not only has the King, the Anointed One, King Jesus, been the one to bring us into his family and community, but he has adopted us to sonship through Jesus Christ. And that's the word in here for a full heir in Roman culture. A brother or a sister. We're not just second-class citizens to Jesus, but Jesus has brought us into adoption. In him we have redemption through his blood. And church, I want to say that when we look at Jesus, we see God. We see God's heart for us and God's heart for the lost. And today, if you have a need and you are feeling lost or afflicted or wounded or hurt, or you feel that wick of yours is smouldering and might soon be snuffed out, or if you feel your reed is a little shaky and broken, we're going to move to a time of communion. And what I want for us to do is to take that bit of bread that represents Jesus' body, and I want you to have a word with God. This King who is eternal, this King who is expansive, this King who rules in justice and righteousness. And I want you to say to Jesus, Jesus, I put my trust in you again. Jesus, I rely on you today. Jesus, I'm not living the flourishing life. Jesus, I need you. And ask Jesus to minister to you through the sacrament there today. That's what I'd love you to do today. Church. Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He has adopted us into his family, and in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let us drink together. Will you let me pray for us? Our loving Jesus, we thank you so much that when we look at you, we can see God. We thank you that you are the person who judges in righteousness, Lord God. You bring justice. You care for the lost. You care for those who are hurting, who are afflicted. And Lord, that's us. We can't do this without you, Jesus. Thank you for all you have done. Thank you for your kingdom, which is expansive, Lord. All the world knows your name. And thank you for your kingdom, which is eternal, with no end. And thank you that we are a part of that. We thank you for your love, Jesus. Amen.
We hope this message has challenged and strengthened you, encouraged you to pray and rely on God, and blessed you today. If you'd like to get to know some of our church community, you can listen to the We Are The Church podcast, an open conversation with real people who call GBC home as they share stories of God at work in their lives and how their lives are being changed by Jesus.